11 o'clock hour here on a Monday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Jay Binkley, Drew Nixon with you. Hopefully Cody is back tomorrow. If you missed it, he was stung by a bee in the mouth. I'm not even joking. We'll find out some more details.
It is so burned.
We'll find out some more details tomorrow when Cody's back. We'll be in St. Joe. Hope to see you guys up there for Chiefs training camp. Today is an off day for the Chiefs, but let's keep talking about them a little bit. We know last week at one point during practice, Hollywood Brown was in the front of a cart, and then we found out it was an ankle injury. And since then, we haven't seen him. It's been four straight practices without Hollywood Brown. Level of concern for you guys? Because I still would like people to all show a little bit of cautiousness, not just towards his own availability, but just in trying to act like now, oh, well, here we go. He's out. He's like, as if we know he's going to miss time. Until I know he's not available week one, I don't care that he's dealing with an ankle injury. I don't think it's fair to say, well, this just means he's not going to be available this year. It's an ankle injury and it's August 4th. We find out that he has surgery or something, that's a different conversation. Well, what has he missed in 4 days, Bank? He has missed nothing.
Here's what Andy Reid said about him, though. He says he's making progress, but it's in the ankle area. So we're just wanting to make sure that it's right, says Reid.
You think it's, is it
that's
actually
how
an ankle?
We want it to come out of this thing. He is making progress, but we'll just see. So, I mean, that's not definitive, really, way or the other, but that is interesting.
If it's actually an ankle, then I think he'll be ready. If it's something else that's in that same area.
He went on, he says, if I say the word serious, I'm talking about surgery, and it doesn't look like he's going to have surgery, okay. But we've got to let it heal up and go. So, take that from what it's worth.
Yeah. So, look, I understand the injury history that's there. We all saw a preseason game where he took one snap last year in Jacksonville and ended up missing, 14 or 15 games.
15, yeah.
And remember, it was only supposed to be 7, and then there was a setback that required surgery and all that. It was a unique situation. I understand the caution. I told you the minute we learned that Rashee Rice was likely to face a suspension this year, I wouldn't play Hollywood Brown in a single preseason game. That was before this ankle injury. Truly, like I don't need him to play in preseason or anything. I just want him available week one when most likely your receivers are Worthy, Brown, Juju, you know, Royals, however you believe the wide receiver room is going to look heading into week one with a potential likely Rashee Rice suspension. But I'm just saying, I don't think it's fair right now to just act like, oh yeah, he's not going to be available this year. They don't play for over 30 days.
Yeah, I'm with you. You rest him during preseason. You know what he can do. You know exactly what he can do. And he has had injuries problem. Let's face it. I mean, let's be real about it.
Yes.
To be honest with you, he has missed 24 games since 2021. 24.
Now, what, 15 were last
15
year?
15 were last
14
year, but
last
still
year.
9 were before that. Yeah. So it is what it is. It's 24 games he's missed since 2021. So that should be concerning. That should be, okay, we gotta take it easy from Hollywood. We know what he can do. Dude's a fantastic player. He's fast. He can do a lot of different things. He came back, had 9 catches just in those last two games of the season last year. We know what he can do, but that's why Jalen Royals has been getting a lot of run with the first team. It's why he's been in there to understand the offense and where it goes. That's why you can't read too much into it, because it's by necessity to kind of speed him up, let him play with the ones a little bit and get him acclimated. But yeah, that's a concern when you have that and you've got a looming suspension. Then all of a sudden you say, Xavier, step up like you did last year. Because he did. I'll give Xavier Worthy a ton of credit for beginning of the year. He came in with all that pressure being a first-round pick. But when you're going to be behind Hollywood and then Rashee Rice, it's okay. You can acclimate yourself in the system. And all of a sudden, he was the go-to guy. And he had those, you know, placement issues with Mahomes down the field being inbounds or not.
Yep.
And then those worked itself out. And I'm really excited to see Xavier Worthy's development, because he really developed towards the end of last year. And through the postseason, nobody was better. But he just grabbed it. He's like, hey, step up. And he did. He stepped up for the Kansas City Chiefs. But you always have to be concerned when you're talking about an injury with Hollywood Brown, because he has had injuries. There's no other way to look at it. Yep. And with the possible suspension, who's going to be the guy stepping up? Because you know what? They're going to need guys to step up. This is where the depth is important, because they're going to have to rely on that depth. They're going to have to rely on Juju. Going to have to rely on Jalen Royals now. Going to have to really rely on Xavier Worthy. Now these guys have that spotlight on them. They've got to step up. It's just what's going to happen.
Yeah, I need them available week one. So whatever that looks like, if that means not practicing for another 2 weeks, if that means not playing a single snap in preseason, they know the true severity of it more than you and I do. Whatever that, whatever requires you for what is required for him to be available week one is where I'm at. I don't care if you told me he doesn't practice for another 2 weeks. I really don't. Like, I need him available week one.
That is what's important.
Yeah, that is what is important. I don't need him out there Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. I would like to see him out there. I don't need him there. If it takes 2 weeks, it takes 2 weeks. But he has to be available at the beginning of the season, as long as it doesn't turn out to be where he misses another week and then like, well, we didn't think he needed it and now he needs surgery or something, and then he misses 2 months. That's obviously what we're all concerned about. But if it's just right now, he's missed four practices. He hasn't missed anything.
I think they're keeping seven receivers. This is 100%. Well,
to me,
why
that
I think
was going
to
happen anyway.
They have the last 2 years.
Yeah, to me, that was going to play out that way. It's also another reason why Tyquan Thornton's roster spot to me is basically a lock on the back end, because if Worthy or Rice or Brown are unavailable, we know there's a good chance Rice is going to be unavailable. He's a guy that gives him some deep threat ability down the field, Tyquan
Thornton.
And
he's not like an undrafted guy. It's a second round pick 50 in the draft when Tyquan was taken. So you know that, you know, he didn't live up to it exactly in New England, but, you know, guys often don't without Tom Brady. That's the way things work. That was a clown show until Vrabel kind of brought some stability to that team. But yeah, I mean, Jalen Royals, they had to be acclimated right into the system.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we will get to the trash of the day. But over this weekend, you guys know on Friday, I was excited for what Major League Baseball was trying out, which was this Bristol Speedway game. And they had Cincinnati taking on Atlanta. And I was intrigued by it because, look, we all know they have 162 games. Do these specialty events. They've nailed them with Field of Dreams game. They've done it with the Rickwood Field games they've done.
Fort Bragg.
They've done a great job with these, and they should do them. I said once a month they should have one of these specialty games. Admittedly, though, I was disappointed. Some of it wasn't their own doing. Some of it was Major League Baseball's own doing. The weather did not cooperate. They had a two-hour rain delay. So the starting pitching matchup we all wanted, Chase Burns, he pitched one inning, and then he couldn't pitch the next day because he was already warmed up and everything, and they didn't want to risk anything. So that put a damper on it. It did not air Saturday afternoon. I ended up doing some stuff Sunday afternoon, so I really barely watched this thing. You know, their details that they had were cool. You know, you and I were talking before the show with what they do with the uniforms. It was like the NASCAR numbers on the back of the uni instead of just the normal numbers. All that was cool. And I still think that they will continue and should continue to do these things. They had 85,000 people there. But then you see some of the details on this. They reportedly ran out of hot dog buns and peanuts. And there was just like not enough food for people at the racetrack, which they have a racetrack, you know, 90,000 people, 100,000 people at these races. That stuff can't happen. People on social media were saying it was Firefest 2.0.
Yeah, it was good in theory, though. I did watch it Saturday night, and then that rain came, and it kind of ruined everything. And
you only got an inning. I mean, there's not much watching a baseball
game. But at least they got part of it in. But then Sunday,
they should never have started it.
But they shouldn't have. But then Sunday, they should have just cleared it off and say, hey, we'll go back Sunday, because they did finish it Sunday, and it was great. Great weather. It was perfect for them. But I thought the whole thing, I almost tweeted out, didn't, but I was like, you know, props to Major League Baseball, because they do a lot of things that you scratch your head about, but lately they haven't been doing that. They've been doing the right thing at the right time. It's why this sport is doing extremely well and hopefully can and not have a lockout in the future. But this game was awesome. I mean, with the numbers, like NASCAR, with the fact that NASCAR embracing it, like they should have, but Chase Elliott was there and stuff. The guys flew from Iowa Speedway to Bristol to try to promote it. They did the home run car. That
was a nice touch. I like the home run car.
Chase Elliott drove around a lot of the players if they wanted to ride around in a pace car, like around the track and going fast. And they had the pregame kind of the guys riding on the trucks and everything else, the players. But it was perfect the way they did it. There was great locker rooms for the two teams. With the helmets that had the NASCAR theme on and everything. I thought they did a really good job, because that was like an event with I guess the Reds do have a chance to make the third wild card, 3.5 games back. Atlanta, no chance. But it seemed like a big event, even just kind of just playing. Not playing the Dodgers or Yankees, just playing the Reds and the Braves. I mean, I thought it was a home run.
I love the idea. That's why I was excited on Friday. And they should try these things. And they just because maybe it didn't go as planned on Saturday and Sunday doesn't mean they should not try it again. I'm just saying that the game, because of the weather, should never have started Saturday, because you wasted the two starting pitchers that people wanted to maybe see. And then on Sunday, there were a lot of reports that there wasn't enough food for people. That's embarrassing. That can't happen. They got the details right on the jerseys and the TV broadcast. But at some point, you still also need to make sure the people, the 80,000 people that are there, are able to get a hot dog with a bun.
Details gold.
I mean, you guys are both NASCAR guys. You know, they should be prepared for this kind of thing.
I thought it was great for both sports. Yeah, I thought the collaboration of Major League Baseball and NASCAR, that was perfect. For both sports, not just one of them, for both of them.
Yeah, I think the collab was good. I mean, they've done stuff with college football before, too. But, you know, to your point, Gold, Bristol is big enough that them getting the amount of people that they did shouldn't have been much of a problem. And that obviously isn't NASCAR's fault. That's more of the Speedway's fault, I would presume, than anything else. But, yeah, I'm a little bit surprised that they didn't have enough, that they ran out of, I guess, maybe they don't sell as many hot dogs at races. I don't get hot. I do not get.
One during the regular season. There's two at Bristol, isn't there?
Traditionally, there have been. I don't know. That might have changed this year, to believe it or not.
Yeah, but traditionally, they're used to having that many people.
Yeah, I was surprised that they ran out of food.
It'll probably never happen again, I'll tell you that. They'll make sure they correct that and learn from it. But Major League Baseball should continue to do events like this. What's the next one you want to see? Because I think they're going to have Field of Dreams again in the next year or two.
That was my favorite.
They're in Iowa. What's it, Dyersville or whatever?
That was awesome.
Iowa. And the Rickwood Field game, they should do something like that again. That's awesome. What's the next one? I know you're a college football guy, so you probably want them playing it at like the Horseshoe or something like that.
Yeah, if it can... If it can work out logistically to have a baseball field inside, but some of them have been because most of these stadiums have changed, though. They've moved, you know, the fences in, not the fences, but they moved the stands in and stuff and got rid of it. You know, the days of Three River Stadium and those kind of are outdated where you can't play football or baseball in a football field. But I love this idea at Bristol. I loved it when they did it at Fort Bragg. I think if they continually to do these at an off, because they can take these stands anywhere and do these anywhere. Just like the one in Iowa, Field of Dreams is unreal. How cool.
It feels like a military base is up next, like in the rotation.
Well, they've already done Fort Bragg, but they should continue to do it at the bases because I think that's the best idea they've had.
Yeah, there's just,
I'd like
again,
to see it continue being there.
It doesn't. They can do five or six of these a year. I'm not saying there's a ton of work. Like if you work for Major League Baseball, you're probably like six might... I don't know if we can pull that off. We want to make sure they're successful and all that. But I just think once a month you figure it out. Maybe it's even, you just know, hey, July. In July, we know where it's that month is always going to be the baseball game that's at a military base or whatever it may be, right? That's just what we know. That's going to become a tradition. And in August, they're going to do something at a NASCAR race. Like, even if you tell me, like, we just kind of know going into the season and you're just wondering if your team is going to be part of it, fine. You know, May is a college football series game, you know, and that's going to have the Royals playing whoever, you know.
Have the Royals play at Whiteman.
Sure, whatever, right? Like, whatever they want to do, obviously involving the Royals would be cool for us locally.
Royals, but, Cardinals, and Whiteman, that'd
be
awesome.
But something like that, and hopefully they continue to increase. I think they're starting to figure it out a little bit more by doing these events, even if this past weekend did not go as planned. And it wasn't just the weather. There was some other stuff.
This is exactly why I want to see the NFL do a college stadium series for one game a year.
Yeah, I know you do.
We've gone back and forth. The NFL, me of this.
Baseball.
And by the
works
way, Bristol does have two races.
Baseball works because they have 162 games. We already have NFL games where they're shipping them overseas and all that. I don't need another home game for a team taken away to go play in Norman, Oklahoma. No, thank you.
Well, I disagree.
Yeah, I know you do. I know you do. I know you do. But it just doesn't make any sense for the NFL to go play in a college stadium for an NFL regular season game. They want to play the preseason game? Like, this Saturday, they're playing Arizona. They want to go play that in Tempe? Go for it. I don't care. It's a preseason game.
I just have it where the fans could drive to it and enjoy the full weekend, the college experience, watching your NFL team play. I think it would be absolutely perfect. We've seen the NHL do this.
You're saying you
now
would
Major
want
League Baseball
NHL also
it.
Has how many games? Bink. Like 60?
What, January 82. 1st, they always do the stadium series.
Bink, you're saying you would want, it would have to be like Lincoln. Enough Chiefs fans in between Nebraska, Iowa.
Or Norman, or you could do it in Manhattan. You could do it in Lawrence. You could do it in Columbia.
Makes no sense.
It makes more sense to go to a bigger state. Bank. I think they'd have to go to Lincoln.
Falcons play in Tuscaloosa.
Going to Lawrence or Manhattan would be
that to me doesn't
never going
to
happen. But also, like, could you imagine the Chiefs go 30 minutes west to a smaller state? What
is easier for the fans, doing that or going to Dublin or London?
As we've gone through this conversation before, The international games are not for the international games. While there are some, there's somebody listening.
Munich or Lincoln?
There's some, there's somebody listening that obviously is going to Brazil. But in general, the games overseas are not for the fans in Kansas City. They're for the growing the game and the fans in Ireland or Germany or London. So this idea that like, oh, it's easier to go to Lincoln, Nebraska than Ireland. No kidding. Nobody's arguing that, but that's not what that game is for. It's not the Chiefs are not in London thinking that all their season ticket holders in Kansas City are all getting on a plane and going to London. They're thinking that they're going to grow their fan base in London or in this case, Brazil.
Well, the bottom line is Major League Baseball is smart for this, not smart starting over in Japan or starting over there, starting the season. This was smart because this was like a big event. I mean, you had everybody, you had Jeter there and Big Poppy. Yeah. You know, they ended up talking quite a bit because of the rain delay. You had Smoltz doing the game. You had the Fox crew doing the game. I just thought they made something that was pretty minuscule, you know, a baseball game being played at a track. They made it to a big
event.
We're
in agreement on that part of it.
Big event. Yeah. I give them total props to this.
All right, let's get to it. We go to New Jersey. Bank, you ever been to Jersey?
I have.
When?
Jersey.
Oh, gosh.
I've driven through it a couple times.
Any other accents?
No.
Got some more Jersey? You got some more?
That's the only one right now.
You got something else you can say, the Jersey accent? When were you in Jersey, Bink?
I was out on the East Coast. I was driving through, and the one thing I always remember about Jersey is there was somebody there, gas attendants. Like they,
yes, like Oregon. That yes,
yeah. People yeah, you have to gas tank. Not a fan of that.
Yeah, or I think Oregon's the other state that does that. Or one of the other states that does that.
Not
as well.
A fan.
New Jersey bakery owners, unfortunately, were stabbed over an eggplant sandwich. Okay, the kicker though is that the sandwich the customer was upset about was from 4 years earlier. So one, obviously, don't stab anybody. Two. What's a reasonable amount of time for you to complain about a sandwich? Like, if you go to a restaurant and you don't like the sandwich, in that exact moment, to me, is the only time you really can complain about it. No. 4 years, you're up. One, again, if you get to the point where you're willing to stab somebody, you got other issues. But you got in your car and you drove to the restaurant that 4 years earlier you didn't like the eggplant sandwich. Bank, you ever have an eggplant sandwich?
I have not. I thought that was just the emoji.
You're an eggplant guy?
I thought it was just the
You're
emoji.
An eggplant guy?
No, I'm not.
No? Drew?
I would never eat
You're
that.
Not an eggplant
no.
guy? Okay, just no. checking.
Are you?
I'm not.
Okay. I didn't think so.
You for asking, though.
Eggplant emoji guy?
Okay.
It's on the top five. Drew, if you go on Drew's phone, it's one of the first three emojis that pop up. He uses
it
a lot.
It actually is not. No, it's not.
Surprise, Drew.
The argument, basically, the
picturing Drew's selfies with that.
We're going to get back to Drew at some point. Don't worry. This man went into this bakery on Thursday night, complained that he got eggplant on his sandwich 4 years earlier.
4 years earlier.
Saying he was allergic to it.
Well, he does have
4 years earlier, dude.
He showed some patience.
4 years earlier. What's the longest you've like waited to complain about, whether it's a food item or anything?
I don't think I've complained about food.
Ever?
I guess beer was stale. No.
But if it was, you would have complained in the
30
moment.
Minutes,
you would have said, hey, can I get another beer?
Yeah, right then when you get it. Like, hey, this thing has
You wouldn't have gone back for...
No.
If you were that unhappy
I probably wouldn't have gone back ever.
If you were that unhappy 4 years earlier, you just wouldn't gone back to the restaurant.
No.
Like, why would you go back?
Unless you were traveling through at that time or something. I don't know.
Yeah, the attacker ran away. Police still looking for this guy in New Jersey.
Eggplant attacker.
That's what he is.
Mm. It's a rough deal, man. Maybe he's just traveling through and just it came into his mind like, hey, 4 years earlier, the sandwich sucked.
Well, he had an allergic reaction. But he went in and stabbed them, though, Bink.
Was he in a coma for 4 years?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
That would have been wild.
Did you see the local story? There was a barbecue restaurant here in town that somebody went inside the bathroom at a local barbecue restaurant, was naked in the bathroom. Employee goes to the bathroom, notices like, hey man, get your clothes on, dude.
Yeah.
The guy snaps and the guy stabbed somebody here at a local barbecue restaurant.
Wow.
This just happened like 3 or 4 days ago.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, a lot of our listeners probably know. I'm just not, Terrible story.
Wow.
Sounds like the guy's going to be all right. They ended up finally arresting the attacker, I think, on Friday.
Was there a reason for it, or just...
No.
No, I mean, obviously.
Somebody just... Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was at... people, you're texting in the name of the place. I wasn't going to mention the name of the place. Not that it really meant, but yes, we all know if you Google, you know, wasn't their fault. Obviously, it's terrible. They didn't do anything wrong.
Terrible.
Somebody just... But yeah.
Didn't hear about that. That's sad.
That is the trash of the day.
Drew.
I didn't do anything.
Did you wear your Burrow shirt on vacation?
No.
Why?
I don't need to... People don't need to know that I'm a Bengals fan, except for when the Bengals play.
Did you rock AJ Green?
No. I didn't bring any sports-related memorabilia.
What about Trey Hendrickson? You rocked that one?
No.
He's still not practicing.
I know. He's holding in.
Just holding in, just waiting.
Hey, good news, is
that,
Stewart, though.
Good news is that defense is fine, so they don't need him out there.
Shamar Stewart was a stud in college. He deserves to be a first-round pick. That 1.5 sacks, man, I mean, he destroyed things for the Aggies.
We will talk
more. I'm not going to say anything about that team.
We'll get back to
I'm not going
to
say anything about
Well, you fired off a tweet yesterday taking a shot at Chiefs fans. We will get back to that tweet in about, I don't know, we'll call it 30, 40 minutes.
So much that people are telling me to shut up.
Including,
I can't even say that people shouldn't be concerned about Hollywood Brown or anything like that. People are not happy.
Well, you're on people's you-know-what list today. Yeah. Based off
people
of your,
think
based
I
off
mean
your
to you.
Text.
People think I mean to you. Look at the text line, man.
Well, he took shots at Chiefs fans. He knew what he was doing. We still haven't even got
calculated.
To a photo Drew sent out on his trip as well.
I don't think there's
I want to address
the photo.
The photo. There was a photo you sent out.
Not eggplants.
It wasn't eggplants. It wasn't the same as his shirtless selfie in front of his car window.
Yeah.
But this one was another one involving his body.
Wow.
I don't know what's going on.
He
sent out two photos recently involving his body. We will get to that later. Up next, though.
Not a shocker.
It's it's the Chiefs Red Half Hour. I want to talk more about Rashee Rice. And apparently they're still complaining in Houston about a playoff game.
On your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5, The Fan.
It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Alex Gold, Jay Binkley, Drew Nixon with you. You guys were both excited during the break. A preseason poll was released. We'll get to that during what's trending.
The one that means nothing.
You know my stance on any of the AP or coaches polls to begin with, but this one truly doesn't mean anything. But in what's trending, we'll mention it as a local school does appear inside the top 25 college football's coaches poll. So we'll get to that in just a little bit. I want to talk about Rashee Rice a little bit though, Bink, because he spoke to the media over the weekend and we all know, like everybody knows, at some point he's going to get suspended. We don't know if it'll happen this week or the week after. He can practice with the team up until the week of the suspension. So let's say it's week one. He can play in preseason. He can do training camp. He can do all of that. He can stay in shape. He's also coming back from an injury. He looks really good at camp, I must say. Like, he looks like a legit number one receiver. When he's running routes, he just looks different than everybody else out there. He is the best wide receiver on this team. We all know that. And he was on an unbelievable pace until he got hurt last year in that Chargers game. He was going to be
incredible pace.
I think he was pacing for over 1,400.
He was. It was unreal how good he was and what people kind of put him in the hierarchy of receivers. Keep this in mind. The year before, when he was a rookie, he was number two out of all rookies in yards and interceptions. So his trajectory keeps going up and up.
Yeah, and he talked about, you know, how he believes he's completely changed and you know, how much he has to learn and has learned from obviously the accident and the legal consequences he's now going to deal with as well. He said, quote, all I can do is focus on what I can control. That's me doing what I do best right here on the field. And I was thinking more about what the future looks like for him and his future in Kansas City in particular, because we all know he was drafted 2023. He's got a year left on his contract after this. Let's say he's suspended four games. We'll just make it simple. We'll say it's four. It could be six. I don't know. Four games, but he goes out there and still has an 1,100-yard season. By missing four games, that'd be a pretty darn good season. You would agree?
I think it's possible.
Right? And I think it is very much possible. Do you think, given his play, but also clearly the off-the-field issue, do you believe they would look into getting an extension done earlier and view it almost like a Tyreek Hill situation the first time, where we'll get him on like a team friendly, like a friendly deal because he also needs to show for a couple of years that he's going to be clean, basically, right? And not have any off-the-field issues. And so do you think he'll be 25, or he is 25 now, next year he'll be 26, That's the final year of his rookie deal. Would you look into, let's say he goes out there and does what I just said this year and has no issue. This time next year, if he's coming off 14 games or 13 games, 1,100 yards, and has no problems in the offseason, would you be willing to do an extension, or do you think they're going to just ride this thing out and he's not ever going to get one?
Well, I think with a lot of receivers, they'll just kind of ride it out and keep drafting new receivers, kind of like what they want to do, because they don't want to get into the $30, $35, $40 million a year for different receivers. Rashee Rice is different, though. This guy is a great talent, and the arrow is still going way up. I think you get a good deal with Rashee Rice. And the Chiefs, they've got good deals. Let's face it, Trey Smith was a good deal. By sending him now and him not playing out the NFL salary cap deal, don't you agree? Because other guards will sign. Like, they would pay him probably more if he was on the open market and other teams were going after him. They saved money on Trey Smith.
Well, so a couple things. Yes, he was going to get more money on the open market. That's why he had the franchise tag. Do I think it's a great deal? Look, Trey Smith, I have no problem with the deal they signed. I don't know if I put in the great deal category. You're making him the highest paid guard in NFL history.
Exactly.
So I don't know if it's a great deal.
I think doing it now saved the Chiefs money, to be honest. I think George Karloftis.
The Karloftis
really
deal
the
is the better deal.
Because if George Karloftis goes out, his 10.5 sacks is career high. Yeah. If he goes out and gets 12 or 14, guess what happens? Around the league, like, ooh, we need this. We need this guy in here. And that goes way up. Just like with Seth Lugo when he signed with the Royals. Even Vern will tell you, he's probably saved the Royals $14 million by doing that extension the way he did. But the Chiefs have been very smart
those
about
last
doing
two. So Karloftis and Seth Lugo are great deals. I don't put the Trey Smith one in the great deal category.
If you don't, but Rashee Rice would be because of the situation that he's in. And you have to understand NFL teams to be like, okay, like once you're suspended, you can easily be suspended a lot more the next time. They know that first strike has been out against you. And that does cost you money.
Sure.
And it does. But the Chiefs have shown him loyalty. He's shown the Chiefs loyalty back. Chiefs have always supported him. And I think that helps, man. I think that helps with the Trey Smith deal, as well, because he showed up in mandatory minicamp. Typically, guys at salary cap, you know, kind of skip those type of things, whatever. He didn't, in good faith, shown loyalty to the Chiefs. They showed him loyalty, taking him when they did. And I think Rashee Rice kind of feels that same way. I know it sounds silly, because you think about loyalty and business, they really go hand in hand when it comes to pro teams. With the Chiefs, it kind of does. Like with the Chiefs, it kind of does, but I do think they could save money with Rashee Rice going forward. But he was ready for just a complete breakout last year.
Right. And I think he can have a phenomenal season, especially, you know, if the suspension is closer to four
games.
Make
him a Mahomes guy, man.
Especially if it's closer to four instead of six. Potential suspension. I kind of view the potential there is, like I said, not the deal that ultimately Tyreek got in Miami. But you guys remember that first extension Tyreek got in Kansas City. It was viewed as kind of a team-friendly deal because of everything that was, you know, going or had gone on, right? I could see something like that happening again for Rice, but it's tricky. It depends also what Worthy does. If I'm sitting there at the end of the season and Xavier Worthy goes out there and has an 1,100-yard season, then are you saying, well, we'll just ride this out. Worthy will become our one. And, you know, we'll go and he'll be the guy we extend.
But the good news is you have him for that extra year as well, because he's first round.
For sure. So they don't have to make a decision necessarily now. This time next year wouldn't surprise me if it's a huge topic of conversation.
I could see it being. And also, do you want Mahomes to have a dude? Like, have the guy? Like, you think a great
Kelsey will be gone in another year or so.
And Rice does a lot of the things Kelsey does. Like, when Kelsey splits out, they're getting, you know, catches over the middle. It's kind of dirty work. Rice gets those as well. Like, tremendous receiver yards after catch. And that's what the kind of fits into what the Chiefs do. Like, Rashee Rice fits just what the Chiefs do offensively. Like, I can't think of anybody that just does it better what he does because how much he fits in with the Kansas City Chiefs offense and what they like to do. And, hey, Mahomes needs that guy, man. Kelsey's been that dude for Mahomes, been that reliable guy. I think Rashee Rice can be that guy as well. But if you're going to have Mahomes locked up, which you do in a long-term deal, give him his receiver going forward, someone he trusts, someone he's acclimated with, someone he has great chemistry with. And that's important, man. Your quarterback, you know, views as that guy, and I think Mahomes does view Rice that way.
Yeah, and look, they'll draft another wide receiver next year.
100%. They need to.
Yeah, and I don't know if it'll be a first-round guy, but they will draft one, and so we'll see how it plays out.
They've been throwing one dart.
Yeah, see how it plays out.
They've been throwing one dart.
And they've done very well at that recently. I understand in the past, obviously, it's been a problem, but you nailed the Rashee Rice pick, even with the issues he's had off the field. He's still been a great player.
Nail-worthy.
And Xavier Worthy looks like the real deal as well. We'll find out who's that next
draft pick. Jalen Royals could be it. We don't know yet.
Who knows? Way too early. Yeah. We just have no clue when it comes to his potential production in the future as well.
I think
well.
He'll be better than Sky.
Someone that I wonder could be better this year is a veteran. You're like, okay, don't we know who and what he is? Juwan Taylor, the only reason why I wonder is we learned over the weekend, he mentioned that he was playing hurt last year and was getting his knee drained every week and had a procedure this offseason. He also had some stem cell treatment. I think, what is it? He went to like Panama or something to get that done. So that's why he got on the pup list or was on the pup list to begin training camp. And then once pads were on, he's been out there every day. And so I still think he'll be the starting right tackle. But knowing now what we know, which is, hey, he was playing. All these guys have injuries, but he was playing through something last year.
He's toughing it out.
And good for him. Do you think there's actually another level to his play? For most fans, the frustration always goes back to his first year here, which was the holding and the lining up offside
the penalties,
stuff.
Yeah.
Right? It's his actual play. It's perfectly fine for right tackle. Now, I don't want to pay him $27 million after this year again. This, to me, will be his last year in Kansas City.
Is it?
But this could be... It's a contract year for him as well. Couple the fact that he's healthy, hopefully, and it's essentially a contract year. I think we're going to see the best year of Juwan Taylor in a Chiefs uniform.
It's one thing Veach does so well is get guys that have something to prove. You know, Jalen Moore, even though it's a two-year deal, they can back away from that, but he's got a lot to prove. A lot of money can still be made for one more contract for Jalen Moore going forward. But that, Juwan Taylor's deal, the Hollywood Brown deal, we talked about Hollywood Brown. This was his big chance to go out and make money. It was supposed to be last year, but obviously injuries derailed that. Then this would be his big year to go out and make money. But I do like how Brett Veach kind of brings in guys that are hungry with something to prove. And definitely Juwan Taylor fits right in there. He's a Super Bowl champion. He's got the ring at least now to go forward with. So, yeah. And Jalen Moore, when he wasn't committing penalties, which he did lead the NFL in penalties for 2 years, but that lining up was a big problem with that. But you understand why he was doing it, trying to give his quarterback a little bit more time. But outside of that, he was actually extremely serviceable, you know, analytically, like playing right tackle. Because Jalen Moore, what? Jalen Moore, yeah, the 2 years with Jalen still. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I think he's getting the reps at right tackle. Yeah, so that he sets up for 2026. Not only the flexibility this year, but it sets up for 2026.
And if Juwan did have those issues last year, who knows if that happens again? You always have to be prepared for that. Jalen Moore, I think they really like. It was a smart signing. Chiefs didn't go wild in free agency spending because typically teams that go and spend a ton of money in free agency don't do well. I mean, there's stats.
You overpay in free agency.
Panthers spent more money in free agency last year, and look at them. The Titans spent more money on defense than anybody last year. They picked number one in the draft. So just going out and spending
money. Those are already bad teams.
But spending money wisely is important, and Jalen Moore is that because of his versatility. At the right tackle, well, you need him at left tackle now. He goes back to left tackle. Hey, you need him at guard. Kingsley's not working out at guard. You want Jalen Moore there. He can do that. So that's a very, very smart signing for the Chiefs. Like, I'm not looking at this, you know, can he be a backup or something? Jalen's not, you know, seizing that number one role. It's okay. He's still going to be incredibly relied upon with this football team this year.
There's a good chance there will be a game in which Jalen Moore has to play this year.
100%.
Just injury-wise, I guess it could be performance-based too, but most likely there will be a spot where somebody misses a series or two because of an injury in-game, or they miss an actual game. Just I would have to go back and look. I would be shocked if there was more than one or two teams last year that for week one through week 18 had the exact same starting offensive line in every spot and didn't have a guy miss a snap. I would be shocked if there's more than one or two teams. And even then, there may not even be a single team that had every single, like their left guard didn't miss a snap, their left tackle didn't miss, like, I just don't think that's how the NFL operates.
Because the Mitch Schwartz of the world, you know, was on a consecutive snap streak. That's hard to find. Or Creed Humphrey, in the way he plays every single snap. Trey Smith, Joe Tooney was known for doing that too. It is tough finding guys like that.
I thought the fact that it was a divisional round game last year and that it's camp and it's August, that in Houston they wouldn't be talking about the NFL treating Mahomes differently or not differently. I guess this came across the timeline over the weekend. Sean Hockley was officiating training camp practice for the Texans. Like, if you guys go up to St. Joe, you've noticed, right? They have officials now that they're in pads. And so it's good practice for the officials. It's good practice for the team. No, you know, if some guys are in the secondary being grabby or whatever. Well, he was asked, Sean Hockley asked about treating players the same. They're still talking about this in Houston.
All quarterbacks the same with regard to roughing the passer. Anybody with a ball as a sliding player, whether it's a quarterback or not. So I would just say that I don't have anything other than, you know, we're going to treat all players the same. Now.
All right, that's kind of hard to hear, but basically, of course, he was saying they treat all players the same and all that. I couldn't believe it. That out of all the questions they're asking about their belief that once again in the playoff game last year, Patrick Mahomes was treated differently than CJ Stroud? That's still a thing?
It should never be a thing.
Well, we've said that Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Joe Burrow, do they get treated differently than rookie quarterback Tyler Shuck in week one? Yeah, absolutely.
Of course they've
done it. But that's been going on forever. It happens in every sport, by the way.
Yeah.
The rookie, Cooper Flagg, right, just got drafted by the Mavericks. He will not get the same call in his first game as he will in 6 years. That's just sports. That's just reality. Why, I don't know why they're still asking questions about this in Houston, going back to the division round game. The Texans are still irrelevant. I'm sorry. They just don't, like, in the conversation of the AFC, like, they might win their division this year. They're not on the same tier of the Chiefs, the Bills, the Ravens. They're just not, they're not even in the same grouping that I would have put a couple years ago where Cincinnati was. Now, to me, Cincinnati and Houston are very, very, very similar franchises.
Don't they have pool reports, too, after every game where this sort of stuff gets...
Yeah, but that's kind of a joke, too.
Yeah, I know that it's hard to trust the pool reports, but even still, like, they're not... What else do you expect Sean Hockley to say? Like, I don't...
Of course. Yeah, you know, yeah, he's going to come out and say, yeah, you know what? We actually give all the calls to Mahomes.
Yeah. Like, yeah, even if it was a thing, which
it's
not.
That's still a narrative. It's a reminder as we get closer to the season that as much as it annoyed us, be prepared to be annoyed again. If the Chiefs are having success early on, you're going to once again see the social media crap of, oh, they're getting this call or that call or that's rigged or whatever. Just that'll start back up the minute the Chiefs start winning again. Right now, it's more of like, oh, they're not any good because they got their ass kicked in the Super Bowl. But the minute the Chiefs beat the Chargers in Brazil, maybe beat the Eagles in week two as well, it'll start back up all the annoying things from last year.
We're already seeing it with the new first down marker.
I love that.
They're doing this just for the Chiefs. That's what you've heard.
No, Chiefs.
They're doing this so they can get Chiefs first down.
It's rigged. They're going to hack into the digital system.
It's already started.
Yeah, that's a reminder that football season is here.
People are just mad because they have to, you know, they're stuck while watching the Chiefs, which, look, I've never gotten Sunday tickets, so I just watch whatever's on TV. But I don't know if you guys talked about this. I texted you and Cody.
You did text us, yes.
In the middle of the week. And I think, you know, Chiefs fans might appreciate this. I would say that they're going to think that it's funny, so bear with me a second. I'm having discussions as you always do. You know, you're just hanging out, talking with family. And my brother and my cousin, I'll start off with my cousin because he was the one who was talking mainly about this in the first place. He lives in Sioux Falls, up in Iowa. Steelers fan. But it got to the point where he was like, I'm sick and tired. I can't watch a Steelers game because I get fed the Chiefs all the time. All I can watch is the Chiefs. And it's the most annoying thing, and I hate it.
He lives in Iowa. They're going to be on TV a ton up there.
And my brother, along the same lines, is not a Chiefs fan. He was like, yeah, I hate the Chiefs. I have to watch them all the time. Can I watch anybody? I don't want to spend $400 to watch somebody other than the Chiefs. They just get, you know, force-fed to us like crazy. And
best team in the league.
If what I thought right away is I'm going to text you guys because this was something fun that when you're the best team in the league and you win Super Bowls, you're going to get put in that national
light. They're in all the prime slots.
It's going to start. You know, the Chiefs are the first NFL team in history to have 5 primetime games within the first 8 weeks of the season. Like, think about that. It's first team ever
to have 5 primetime
the first 8. Plus Thanksgiving and Christmas. You think they got a lot of criticism before with people watching the Chiefs, not wanting to see them. Wait until they're on primetime 5 of the first 8 weeks, which has never been done. You wait to hear the criticism then. It's coming. It's coming.
And they've been the best franchise over the last 7
NFL's
years.
The NFL's used them. The NFL has used the Chiefs.
I mean, I think you could say even the same thing about the Cowboys, too. Like, I'm sick and tired of seeing them on things. Like, obviously, it's a tradition. Like,
the Cowboys, I get the complaints for because they haven't been any good.
Exactly. No. For you to say, well, of course, it's the Cowboys on national TV, but they haven't been good, so... Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was funny for my trip.
At least they rotate the Thursday night game between teams. Chiefs, by the way, were the first team to have a Thursday night Thanksgiving game when it was the Chiefs and Broncos. They did that as a favor to the Chiefs, but that was the first one besides being the Lions and the Cowboys every year. Mm. But that's just typically been the staple.
God, wasn't there that same radio station, Gold, that we played the talking about Josh Allen, I think, 100.9 The Mitt. Something like that.
Up in Michigan.
There was another video, or there was another clip that was put out. I don't know if you saw this.
Yeah, she's on a roll.
The same. She clearly the is same just lines. Doing this on purpose at this point.
Wait a minute.
Time.
Is this the same lady that was talking about how she's going to root for Josh Allen because Mahomes is in a Hallmark commercial?
The latest
movie,
one
even
is
though he wasn't.
The latest one is about Deshaun Watson.
I personally, now that football season has started, I personally think that Patrick Mahomes wouldn't be anything without Andy Reid. If Deshaun Watson was drafted by the Chiefs, he'd probably be the number one quarterback in the league.
Does Deshaun Watson, does the stuff still happen if he's in Kansas City?
I feel like, though, Andy Reid could have maybe guided him in a better way.
No.
You know?
That's probably
maybe
true.
He wouldn't be such a bad guy.
That's insane. Oh, insane.
This lady is the same lady that talked about the Hallmark movie and the Chiefs and how she's going to like the Bills now. When the Bills just filmed their Hallmark movie this year, by the way.
You just don't. That's just
Mahomes 4-0 versus Allen in the playoffs. This lady here, her hot takes. The same guy. No, he still has the same.
Of audio.
He still has the same off the field trouble, whether it's in Kansas City or Houston. It still would have happened.
That audio cut, like, we have some funny drops in the system and some funny cuts, and people have bad takes. That, like, legitimately might be one of the dumbest pieces of audio we have ever played on this show.
It's not
one
good.
One of the dumbest pieces of audio.
But I personally, now that football season has started, I personally think that Patrick Mahomes wouldn't be anything without Andy Reid. If Deshaun Watson was drafted by the Chiefs, he'd probably be the number one quarterback.
Shut up.
That makes it the most ludicrous.
Okay.
The whole thing about Mahomes, I'm sure there's people that feel the same way about Brady wouldn't be anything without Belichick and all that stuff. And of course, Brady shut those people up afterwards as well. But the back part of
Watson?
No.
Can you believe Bink wanted Watson instead of Mahomes?
This is not true. Hey. I get a lot of crap for the Simmons thing, but nobody remembers me wanting Mahomes over Watson. Nobody remembers that far back. And Mahomes changed the whole complexion of this city. 100%
that mock draft on our station site. Bink selects Deshaun Watson.
I have proof every single mock I have Mahomes.
I knew this.
Very first article on 610, actually.
Bink, we know this. We're just poking the bear a little bit.
No, nobody remembers the text line. They don't remember.
And yes, I think Deshaun Watson would still be a creep, whether he was in Kansas City or Houston.
Some people are just creeps. It doesn't matter where
that has nothing to do with football-related things, no. That type of behavior.
You know, early on in his career, he would have had a great career here in Kansas City. He was having a great career in Houston.
He
would have had a great career until all this trouble happened.
Whoever this lady is that keeps putting out like these terrible takes, is it a sports show? Is it I would love to, on a daily basis, is she doing this? Or does she just think, I went viral last time. Let me come up with something stupid.
It's
called 100.9 The Mitt. Sports Radio 100.9 The Mitt. In Great Lakes, the Great Lakes Bay region's home for local sports. They talk high school, Michigan State, primetime NFL.
But the Michigan State takes are hot.
No offense to Michigan State, but there's no hot. Like, well, what does she think? Tom Izzo should be fired or should retire?
Probably.
I mean, that's the hot take in East Lansing.
If Cooper Flagg would have gone to Michigan State, they'd have won a national title.
I don't know. That's just crazy. It's not even related to their area. It's Michigan.
Yeah, I don't know what that's. What I'm saying. What show is you mentioned the state? Like,
the actual show.
They're local. Like, do they talk? I would love to. Like, what's it sound like when she's talking about the Detroit Lions or whatever?
You should try being this dummy on the show. Seriously, it'd be just fun to hear dumb thoughts.
It might be the Ben Bosser show.
Just hear some really dumb
she's
thoughts.
Like a secondary voice on the show or something.
I would assume, because it looks like
does
it's
that guy
a,
have. Okay.
Oh no, I don't know.
Such as text line says, she's writing to be the pageant contestant.
No, she isn't on that one.
Such as Mahomes.
She's not on that one. There's only I can't even find.
Because remember, she had the. Drew, you were referencing the take. What? How many months ago was that? Do you think the one before?
Josh Allen one. A few months is all.
That was the all time worst one. That was worse than this one.
That one was just so inaccurate. Like with things she thought were a fact. This one's dumber though. This take about Deshaun Watson and Andy and Mahomes.
Well, they're
and
both so stupid. It's hard to.
I can't find the show that was. I don't see her on any on the website of the station or anything like that. I can't remember if it said on the tweet. I might have to go back and find the tweet and just see.
No, I saw that come across over the weekend as well. Here we are. She got attention. I don't remember her name though. But
does it matter?
No, it doesn't.
Some of this stuff is just like listen, I think, and I'm not even going to play up myself in this. There are some crazy things that I say, but I don't seriously think certain things, and I'm not seriously thinking that this is a thing that's possible. If I tell you that I think that Joe Burrow is as good as Patrick Mahomes, I actually believe it. You know, that might be, you know, that's a differing opinion, but it's not an out-of-pocket comment or take like that one was.
My guess is in a couple months she's going to have some more in a couple months.
The funniest thing was the Hallmark movie take and why Buffalo and Josh Allen, when they just filmed
Josh Allen movie. Yeah, Josh Allen won't be in the Hallmark movie, I don't think.
Mahomes wasn't in either.
And neither was Mahomes in the Chiefs one. But
you take Allen, and Mahomes is 4-0 versus Allen in the postseason, so I don't understand that take at all. Like, it doesn't make sense.
People think maybe she's scrubbed from the station website, Drew. Maybe she doesn't work there anymore.
Yeah, I don't know.
Her name is Sarah Stockford.
I don't know. This is pretty recent, though, isn't it?
This piece of audio went viral last. I don't know when it actually was said. I saw it on Saturday. I don't know if it happened Saturday, if it happened earlier in the week, but that's where I saw the clip.
But there was somebody corrected her, kind of, right? You said, you think you would have had the problems in Kansas City? At least some.
Yeah, there was the. I don't know if that was the main host of the show or whatever. Anyway, that's the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Up next, let's get to what's trending. We'll get right back into what the Royals did over the weekend and why Cody is not here today.